So the epistle for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. Now if the ministration of death engraven with letters upon stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which is made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice aboundeth in glory. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 10. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, saying, 'Master, what must I do to possess eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a certain priest went down the same way, and seeing him, passed by. In like manner also Levites, when he was near the place and saw him, pass by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. And going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I at my return will repay thee.' Which of these three, in thy opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among robbers?" But he said, "He that showed mercy to him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do in like manner." Please be seated. "Master, what must I do to possess eternal life?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. What is a question all of us ponder at times? What do we need to try to do in order to gain eternal life? And so our Lord gives this parable of the Good Samaritan, one to certainly try to help this lawyer who was kind of tempting our Lord into finding an answer, seeing what our Lord would say. But it's also instructional for all of us, as all the parables are. I mean, certainly any time when we receive a parable from sacred scripture, from our Lord, it is to teach. It is to teach all of us. And so that's why our Lord, he gives this parable not only to illustrate who our neighbor is, but then also, yes, in a large sense, to answer that question. What must we do in order to gain eternal life? What do we have to try to do? And so granted, we know, obviously, we must love God above all things. With everything that we have, we must try to love God. But there is also that idea and that understanding that we must truly, you know, also love our neighbor. And that's why he comes up with the question, well, who is my neighbor? Is it someone that I like? Is it someone that I get along with? And that's why our Lord tried to show to him that it is everyone, because everyone is created in the image of God. I mean, whether we see that or not, whether we see the good qualities in the soul, but certainly everyone is created in God's image. And that is why we understand and we see that we are truly a temple of the Holy Ghost. We are this temple that is created by God. I mean, that is something that is obviously something, you know, familiar to us because of, say, the Requiem Mass, and how the body is treated, of how it's incensed, how it's sprinkled with holy water, how it's blessed. And I think it's something that also, I mean, obviously just because My father just passing away, and all of us are striving to gain eternal life. That reality hits home of how, yes, fleeting life is. And I think it's good for us just to contemplate and to think about our own lives, our own, mortality, of how all of us will be taken from this life. And so therefore, do we understand what it means for us to try to gain or possess eternal life? I mean, a lot of times we've heard, especially in reference to funeral masses or different things, as St. Augustine has said, as you live your life, so you will die. And so that reminder to us of if we try to live our life pleasing to God, well, God will, in his way, will have his generosity toward our soul at the end of our life. And so that's where we must then try to truly have a love for God in giving everything to Almighty God. And that is why our Lord, gives the two great commandments to love God with thy whole heart, thy whole soul, thy strength, thy mind, everything. To try to have that as we live our lives. And that's why he also says, though, the second commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself for the love of God. It is the summary of the Ten Commandments. And it helps us to see, the first three are devoted to God. The last seven are devoted to our neighbor. And that is what we will be judged upon. I was just talking to someone yesterday and trying to explain to them about that understanding, that idea, that we will be judged according to how we have lived our life. That yes, our Lord died on the cross for all of us, but remembering that previous to that, his agony in the garden, why was he suffering? Well, because of souls that would reject him, souls that would turn their back on him. And so it's not automatic for us. We have got to live our life accordingly. That we must try to live our life each day for the love of God. And so that's why then when this parable comes, and this man asks this question, this lawyer asks this question, yes, he's tempting our Lord, he's trying our Lord, but our Lord gives to him the real answer to it. The understanding of what does it take for us? And that is how we will be judged. We'll be judged according to how we lived up to the Ten Commandments. And so with that, the lawyer had the right answer, but certainly because he's tempting our Lord, he obviously probably was not living accordingly. Why else would he try to tempt our Lord and ask him that question? Well, then who's my neighbor? Who do I really need to show that charity toward? And immediately comes back, everyone. The people we come across that we don't even really know. That we have to show that charity toward these souls. And so that's why, very clearly our Lord gives to us this map of our life for us to follow and to live accordingly. And if you remember from the Sermon on the Mount, the famous sermon that our Lord gives, he reminds us that the two great commandments depend the whole law and all of the prophets. It is what they were preaching. They preached accordingly. And they preached to the people for them to live accordingly, to live that life. And so that's when the Sermon on the Mount, yes, very clearly our Lord is trying to help the people to understand. How can we gain heaven? What is God expecting from all of us? What is he asking us to live accordingly to? And so that's where we can ask ourselves the question, the love of God, what does this consist for us? Do we understand it? Do we seek God as our end, as our beatitude? Do we find our happiness in serving Almighty God? Again, going back to the idea of why are we created? To go back to God. To to love God, to show God that we love him. That's the whole purpose of our life. It is why we are here. And as I say, that's a consolation, and obviously, for any family that loses a loved one, that the consolation, yes, when you see that at least they receive all that the church has to offer a soul in preparing them for that next step, for eternity. And so that is what, for us, we must understand. As I say, we have the map, we have the path to follow. Do we follow it or do we get off track? I mean, that's what we must try to ask ourselves the question, and especially because the question is posed to us, you know, in a sense, with this parable in the gospel. That is what the church is having us think about now. Okay, we ask that question, what must I do to possess eternal life? How do I need to change my life? What do I need to do differently? Or if we're on the right path, then thanks be to God and continue with the graces of God. But I think, you know, after we've completed our pilgrimage, you know, that whole sense of the whole idea of being pilgrims, that we're not meant for this life, that we're walking to a holy place, I mean, that is obviously symbolic of going toward heaven. And as I say, obviously also with, for my family, just the reality of losing a loved one, losing my dad, again, it comes to that idea that we are just pilgrims here. We are not meant for this life. And so God willing, we'll all be reunited in heaven. That's the goal. But only if we understand what our path is, only if we realize that we're living our lives for the love of God above all things. Because if not, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our soul. And so let us pray for these graces. Let us pray for the strength, specifically, to be able to live our life pleasing to God each day. That we not only have the right answer as this lawyer does, but we live up according to that answer. So that we will gain eternal life and live with God for all eternity. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.